Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jan Balava Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jan Balava Girivara Hari. Paramahansa Parika Jakacharya, Askatara Sata Sri Sri Manas Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Srila Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Kijai, Sri Sri Radha Shamasunda Gopa Gopinath Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Kijai, Mathura Dham Kijai, Navadweep Dham Kijai, Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai, Jagannath Swami Kijai, Jamuna Mai Kijai, Ganga Mai Kijai, Bhakti Devi Kijai, Sri Mati Tulsi Maharani Kijai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Kijai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padai Krishna Prasai Bhutalai. Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Bhacharya Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasudade Sitarane. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text Number 3. Can somebody just hum the verse for me? Because I've done this 5 times and I never start off correct. Do it again. Thanks. Tanman jugo shalin riga dvija kulam. Tanman jugo shalin riga dvija kulam. Mahan mana prakya paya sarasvata. Mahan mana prakya paya sarasvata. Vatena justam shatapatra gandhina. Vatena justam shatapatra gandhina. Nirikshirantum bhagavan manodate. Tan manju go shalim rigad vi jakulam. Mahan mana prakya paya sarasvatya. Vatena justam shatapatra gantina. Nirikshirantum bhagavan manodate. Please chant. Nirikshirantum bhagavan manodate. Tanman. It has to. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is that okay? Okay, all right, thanks. Ladies, Tan manju go shalim rigad vijakulam. Manan mana prakya. Okay, you can do it. One more. Tan manju go shalim rigad vijakulam. Manan mana prakya paya sarasvatya. Tadena justam matapatra dhandinam. Tat, that forest. Manju, charming. Gosha, whose sounds. Ali, with bees. Mriga, animals. Dvija, and birds. Do you know why birds are called dvija? Why was that? Nope. Close to some things. They have what? They're born twice. First from the egg and then that. Dvija. Akulam, filled. Mahat, of great souls. Mana, the minds. Prakya, resembling. Paya, whose water. Sarasvata, with a lake. Vatena, by the wind. Jushtam, served. Shatapatra, of 100-petaled lotuses. Gantina, with fragrance. Niriksha, observing. Rantam, to take pleasure. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mana, his mind. Dadhe, turned. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's very sincere followers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petal lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. I'm just going to read verse 1 and 2, since the classes have been a little interrupted with festival days, so you get the continuance of what's going on here. This chapter is chapter 15, killing of Dhenuka, the ass demon. But these verses are the introduction to that pastime. So this is Krishna going through the forest with his friends, and we're hearing all about the description of the forest, etc. So verse, text one was, Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Ram and Lord Krishna attained the age of Pogunda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. 2. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. And today's verse, once again, the Supreme Personality of God had looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. The purport is, Lord Krishna saw that Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all five senses. The bees, birds, and animals made charming sounds that brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake, and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated, and the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils. And the entire forest was endowed with a heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has thus explained the significance of this verse. Omagina timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So when I was reading these verses and preparing for these verses, I couldn't help but think of how fortunate we are to be hearing now in the 10th canto. From the 10th canto, we're hearing these pastimes of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said way back in 66, Prabhupada said he was given a class in New York, and he said, unless you hear, you cannot abide there. Just like our friend, Mr. Cohen, he has left for California. Now, so far as I am concerned, I have no idea of California. Now, he has told me that after reaching there, he'll write about the description of the place. Now, suppose if reading the description of the place, I think of going there, so I prepare myself. Oh, I must go there. So just like I was describing that Chintamani Dham, Prakatala Sadmasu, Kalpa Briksha, what sort of trees are there? And you are very much pleased that I must go there. So we have to hear. Unless we hear what sort of God he is, what sort of God's place is, what is the mode of life there? We cannot be attracted. We cannot be attracted. What was that?
Very good.
Thanks. Very good. Srila Prabhupada said that way back in 66, March of 66 in New York. So the point that he was making is there that we have to hear about Krishna. We have to hear about Krishna's abode. We have to hear about his pastimes, in order to be attracted, to want to give up our life here, which is what? Full of miseries and hard work, and to go there. So we're reading these very nice descriptions of the forest of Vrindavan, and so many things are happening in that forest of Vrindavan. Just like in the previous verse, where Krishna was going all around with his cows, and he was leaving the imprint of his lotus foot prints all over Vrindavan. And it was everybody was so conscious of Krishna that even the cows, even the hundreds and millions of uncountable, ashanka, uncountable number of cows that were there, they would never step on Krishna's lotus footprint. They would walk everywhere else and with their sharp hooves tear up the earth, so much so that the dust would raise up and even cover the Lord and all the devotees that were with him. Cover him sometimes that it's described that his garland became grayish colored with so much dust. It's actually considered a very auspicious bath, to take bath in cow's dust hoof prints. You know, the hoof prints raised by the calf. So the calf's hoof print would pierce the earth. So many calves and cows piercing the earth, but the earth never felt pain because Krishna's lotus feet was also placed upon her surface, and she got so much pleasure from that. And as he placed his lotus feet on the earth, nobody ever walked over the earth, that spot where Krishna's feet were. So we hear often, right, about Krishna's lotus feet, taking shelter of lotus feet, even see pictures of Krishna's lotus feet, which is why I brought my show and tell with me today. Because Krishna's lotus feet are marked with very many auspicious signs that oftentimes, at least I'll admit for myself, many years, I just looked at them, thought, well, that's a really busy footprint there. A lot of things happening there. And that was the extent of my, how it penetrated my dull head. But fortunately, many devotees aren't so dull. And this information that I'm going to try to convey was accumulated by Mahanidhi Maharaj in his little pamphlet, a meditation on Krishna's lotus feet. So I thought we would do that today. So meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, because it's mentioned. It's going to be mentioned throughout this part of the text. So Srimad Bhagavatam is usually presented sometimes. So much philosophy, and then a little bit of pastime, and then philosophy, and then pastime, and philosophy. So here we're getting pastime. These are the nitya, these are the eternal pastimes Krishna enjoying in the forest. And then it's interlaced with some of his other temporary pastimes. But anyway, so these, Krishna's lotus feet are the shelter for all of us. So for one half of the class, we'll go through the marks, what the marks mean, and how auspicious it is to meditate on those marks. And then I thought, the Lord willing and devotees willing, if you could think of things, little pastimes, little excerpts that you can remember about Krishna's lotus feet, and then we can all share that at the end. Okay? So here we have, if you notice, well, I'm sorry, there's a reflection here, but so hopefully you're situated where you can see it, or maybe you can see it with your inner eye within the heart. But anyway, so interestingly enough, this foot here, which is on the left side, is actually Krishna's right foot. So that's actually very interesting right there. So how is it that we're seeing, how is it that this is his right foot and that's his left foot? Unless, yes?
I was just going to say, we have to sort of imagine Krishna laying down and we're looking at his feet.
Okay, that's one way. But now think of something like in the Shikshastika prayers. The answer is there in the Shikshastika prayers. How do we see Krishna's lotus feet?
From
the bottom up. We're the insignificant little atomic dust particle looking at Krishna's lotus feet. Anyway, that's how I can figure out that this side is the right side and that side's the left side. Okay, so on his right lotus foot, the very first mark up here, can you see this small little mark here? You just think it's like a crease? That small little mark is the mark of a barley corn. Now, barley corns are particularly nutritious. Barley is very nutritious. And compared to grains, when you compare it to a rice grain, barley is a really short grain. So it's explained that by meditating on that barley corn, it's nutritious for our spiritual life. By meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, it's nutritious for our spiritual life. And the devotee's journey through birth and death is shortened, just like the barley is short. Also, there's another another thing that says about the barley corn, that by, like barley is often used as an offering into the fire, along with other grains. So, and one is oftentimes doing fire yajnas for a particular purpose or some motivation. And just as one receives all opulences by performing yajna, by performing that yajna of meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, one receives all opulences, and by serving his lotus feet. So that's an interesting thing about his barley, the barley corn. Then, of course, this mark here is quite identifiable as the Sudarshan Chakra. But the Sudarshan Chakra, in this case, it'll cut down our six enemies. What are our six enemies? Greed, envy, illusion. Yeah, the six enemies. So the Sudarshan Chakra will cut them down. Do you know how hard it is to cut down pride, envy, illusion on your own endeavor? But that Sudarshan Chakra, he won't miss anything. He'll cut down all that envy, pride, lust, illusion, greed from the heart without a problem. But also it's a symbol of the Tejas Tattva also. Tejas Tattva is the principle of brilliance. And that principle of brilliance that Krishna has, that will destroy the darkness of sin within our hearts. So the heart's called a guya. It's like guha, like a cave. So caves are what? Pretty dark. But that when that bright light of Krishna's Tejas or Krishna's knowledge about Krishna or Krishna's potency enters the heart, all that darkness from our untold sinful activities be dissipated. And also this Sudarshan Chakra is like the time factor, symbolizes the time factor. And that time factor will, one who meditates on Krishna's lotus feet will never be destroyed by time factor. The time factor is cutting out, what does it say in second canto? Rising every day by the rising and setting of the sun. It's decreasing the life of whom? Somebody who doesn't meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. Because someone who meditates on Krishna's lotus feet will always have an eternal place in Gokula. So then, underneath, so we've got barley corn, Sudarshan Chakra, and this umbrella. So umbrella, why do we take an umbrella? Well, when it's raining, you'd use an umbrella, right? So what's happening in the material world for us? When the rains, the incessant rains of misery are pouring on our head, we can take the protective umbrella of Krishna's lotus feet, take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and not become affected by the rains of those miseries. So also another, like Govardhan Hill, Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill just like an umbrella. Why? To protect his devotees in Vrindavan. And also an umbrella is also signified like Srila Prabhupada. He has an umbrella over his head. So, or even like when a king would go on procession, oftentimes they would hold an umbrella over his head. So one who meditates on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna will become exalted just like someone who's like a king, in a position of a king, who has an umbrella carried over his head. Now, if that doesn't strike you as a little odd, I have to admit it struck me as a little odd, but then I was remembering from Nectar of Devotion how Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, they explain that sometimes there seems to be a material benediction given. Just like for the barley corn, if one worships Krishna's lotus feet, he'll receive all opulence. But I thought we were like not caring for opulence or this or that. But actually sometimes those benedictions are given as an impetus, just in case there's a little trace of desire for fame or a little trace of desire for opulence in the heart, at least you'll get a little impetus. Keep worshiping Krishna's lotus feet, keep trying to surrender, and everything will come. But that impetus will, it's not a material impetus, it's a spiritual impetus, because it enthuses one to continue on in their devotional service. So this next one, the it's called the upcurved line, so we'll start from the bottom. The upcurved line, that's just like the path of devotional service. It's narrow. It's narrow and sharp like a razor's edge. So that's devotional service, is narrow and sharp. One has to strictly follow the principles, and get the desired result. But also, because this line reaches down, so far down into Krishna's, it's the longest mark on his foot, it's for us, like a lifeline. By holding on to that lifeline of Krishna's lotus feet, it, no matter where we are, even in the material world, maybe one is even in the lower planetary systems, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they'll be raised up to the spiritual world by that shelter. So I always, you know, think of that. I always visualize that, just like the monkeys holding the vine, because, you know, swinging. So hold on to those lotus feet so tightly that and it will be raised up to the spiritual world. The lotus flower is very familiar. We understand lots of, there's so many examples and metaphors about the lotus flower. But one thing about it is that it creates a greed. The lotus flower at the bottom of Krishna's lotus foot creates greed for prema in the bee-like minds of the devotees. Always looking for the prema of his lotus foot. And also, it's a symbol for Lakshmi, who's therefore, and therefore, those who meditate on Krishna's lotus feet will become successful and all opulent. And Krishna's feet are many, many times compared to soft, like lotus petals. Also, Vrindavan is shaped like a lotus flower and opens and closes like a lotus flower. So Krishna's feet are always kept in Vrindavan. And also the meditator on Krishna's lotus feet will also become very fortunate, because Krishna and Srimati Radharani both, they grant boons with their lotus flowers. So the flag underneath the lotus is a symbol of victory. One will be, and it's like assurance of protection and freedom from fear. And then this little one here, that's a little instrument that they use for controlling elephants. Ankush, it's called. That's the only one that I know in Sanskrit. Well, Ankush, it's an elephant goad. So the mind, have you ever had like a mad elephant mind, or even just a happy elephant mind? The mind is like an elephant, but it can be controlled by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. So that small little instrument that the caretaker, the elephant caretaker, manipulates, can control that huge elephant. So Krishna's lotus feet might appear small, whatever, but they can control our mad minds. The next one down under here, this is a thunderbolt. The thunderbolt, and what can the thunderbolt do? What Indra does with his thunderbolt, smashes the mountains with his. So this thunderbolt is smashing the mountain of our accumulated karmic reaction. Haribol, right? Otherwise, like, takes a long time, right, to get out of that one, right? So that thunderbolt smashes the mountain of karmic reactions. Lord Indra carries a thunderbolt, so one can become exalted as Lord Indra. And the glories of, and also it's a symbol, Vrajnath, Lord Krishna's grandson. He Vraj means weapon, so Vrajnath, he established many festival sites and deity sites and Leela stans in Vrindavan, and it's a reminder of his service also. So then we go down here to his heel on his right. This is an octagon here. So it means octagon means that it has points in eight directions. So devotees will be always protected in the eight directions. If you're only protected on one side, you're open to, you know, difficulties. But if protected on eight sides, including up and down, then there's nothing inauspicious. Same with swastika. The same swastika means that nothing inauspicious can happen for a devotee. And this little mark here looks like a strawberry, but it's actually called a jambu fruit. They translate it as a blackberry. But so in Jambu Dweep, all the residents of Jambu Dweep, they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. It's so nice. So on his left lotus foot, we see the very familiar sign of the conch shell. So this conch shell holds the water for bathing the Lord's for bathing the Lord, but that water is a divine amrita, which can extinguish the blazing fire of material misery. And the conch shell also Krishna uses, and the devotees use the conch shell as a symbol of victory, proclaims that the devotees are freed from all distress and awarded with fearlessness. Fearlessness. So the two circles here, these concentric circles, that's a symbol for the sky. Because Krishna is present just like the sky everywhere. The sky touches everything, but at the same time is aloof. So that the circles are not touching. So Krishna's everywhere, within and without, and yet still he's aloof. It also is a symbol, and more for the Ras dance. The gopis are there. Krishna's there, all dancing around the gopis in the Ras dance. And also says that Krishna, Shyam, whirls like a firebrand around Radhika, standing in the middle of the Ras Mandala. So this one here, this one I always thought, what's a mustache doing on Krishna's lotus feet? But it's not a mustache. It's an unstrung bow. So the unstrung bow, there's a very poetic description of the unstrung bow. Oops, where did it go? Okay. One who takes, when the mind of the devotee meets the target of their feet, prema condenses and tears flow from the eyes. So nice, huh? So when the mind of the devotee, Krishna's meditation on Krishna, on his form, on his personal beauty and everything, and his activities, that's our goal. When the mind, so the mind becomes the arrow. When it reaches the target of Krishna's lotus feet, then prema condenses. What's the word? What's the Sanskrit word for condensed prema? Isn't it Sandrananda? Sing. Okay, thanks. Good. Sandrananda Viseshatma. That's Nectar Devotion, first chapter. One of the characteristics of pure devotional service, that the bliss is so condensed in devotional service. There's no question of looking elsewhere for pleasure. Nothing else can penetrate or deviate the mind of the devotee except the pleasure of pure devotional service. Also, the unstrung bow symbolizes that one who takes shelter is perpetually freed from all varieties of difficulties. No difficulties. Here we have, it might not be too identifiable in that, but it's like the calf's hoof print. So everybody knows the calf's hoof print story, right? The miseries, the ocean of material miseries are shrunk down to this amount of water that's contained in the calf's hoof print. And that calf's hoof print is like, one doesn't even consider it. You're just walking across right over it. So the vast ocean of material existence becomes small as a calf's hoof print and can be easily crossed. Now the triangle, here we'll go for the triangle first. So there's two triangles. And there's lots of threes in Krishna consciousness, if you've ever noticed. The threefold miseries, body, mind, and words, three planetary, upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. So those are all there. The devotee saved from the threefold miseries. It's the first, and Krishna's lotus feet are the first and last refuge for all the devotees and for all the inhabitants of the three worlds. Krishna's lotus feet is a safe sanctuary for demigods, humans, and animals. Everyone should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet with body, mind, and words. And Lord Shiva has three eyes. So Lord Shiva is constantly absorbed in attention on Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna's lotus feet have attracted the gaze of the three eyes of Lord Shiva. So here on the other side of the triangle are water pots. So these water pots are similar, have an amrita similar to the water that's in the conch shell. Krishna's lotus feet hold the golden pot of pure nectar to be freely consumed by the devotees. Devotees have a real thing for nectar, especially really delicious nectar. So Krishna's lotus feet have that pot of nectar, but Oftentimes at the Sunday feast, you run out of nectar and you didn't get it. It was really good. And it was so good that it got drunk up. But these pots never run out. So you don't have to worry. There's some for everybody. They never run out of their nectar. And a full pot, just like, remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna's entering into Dwarka, the inhabitants of Dwarka would decorate their houses with full water pots and stuff. Full water pot is very auspicious. If one is going on a journey and they see a full water pot, that means your journey is going to be auspicious or whatever. So a full water pot is very auspicious. And so similarly, a devotee will always experience auspiciousness. And this these pots pour a honey nectar to extinguish the burning fire of separation felt by the gopis. And it also extinguishes, and since we haven't got to that point yet, it also extinguishes the fire of threefold misery. And there's one other thing too. To hear the humorous statements of the Raja Gopis, Krishna bears the emblem of their water pot breasts on his feet. Because he's always there. So here next underneath is the half moon. The half moon is reminds us of Lord Shiva, who wears the half moon, and other demigods. They decorate their heads with Krishna's lotus feet. Also, as the moon increases in brilliance, gradually, one who meditates on Krishna's lotus feet, they will increase in opulence and knowledge and love for Krishna gradually, day by day. Especially for one who distributes. Who expands the glories of the Lord, their knowledge, their prema, their understanding, their purification increases. That's why you can see like Divyanga. Every day you see Divyanga, he's brighter than the day before because he's been busy working really hard distributing information about the Lord. But just here, so the moon is a little bit shriveled up here. So the real moon has shriveled up in shame and appears in half before the full moon of the lotus toenails of Krishna. Krishna's lotus toenails, each little toenail has a full moon on it. And so the devotee's mind may reside at their feet. Radha and Krishna bear the symbol of the moon on their feet because the moon is the presiding deity of the mind. And then our last little symbol that we'll talk about is the fish. So the fish is a very little, it's interesting. So a fish can't exist without water. So a devotee can't live without Krishna. Just like a fish can't, it's no way. It's totally against his nature. He can't live without water. So we also have to come to that point that we can't live without glorifying Krishna. Oftentimes we spend our day busily doing the different elements of our day, the aspects, our duties, maintaining the body, even our very dutifully chanting our rounds and this and that. But we have to fill our life so that we can't live for a second without glorifying Krishna, without hearing his glories, without glorifying himself or encouraging others to glorify him. And that way that will control the mind, because the mind is what? It's like a fish, always wiggling all over the place. You ever see a fish stand still? Sometimes he does, but not for very long, right? So one, just like the fickle mind resembles a fish, one must practice meditation on Krishna's lotus feet to fix it in the heart. And the heart must become liquefied with loving mellows. Otherwise, there's no room for the fish. So the heart has to become liquefied with loving mellows to attract the fish of Krishna's lotus feet. So fish is in Sanskrit, makara. It's the insignia of Cupid's flag, and it's also on Cupid's flag. And it's also what that insignia excites the gopis for rasa. But also Matsya during the pralaya, he came. Krishna never leaves his devotees unprotected in any age, any time, in any circumstance. So even during the pralaya, Krishna came as the Matsya incarnation and guided the sages and preserved the Vedas and everything. So Krishna is always there to protect and love and encourage his devotees. So I always, when I read this little booklet that's there in Vrindavan, small little booklet on Krishna's lotus feet, I thought, what a wonderful way to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, to understand what all of these little symbols mean. We've seen it, we've heard it, we hear Krishna's lotus feet, take shelter of his lotus feet. Then you see how, and then we've heard how the marks of his lotus feet are all over Vrindavan. But now hopefully there's a little more clarity of what those symbols mean, and how we can, even sometimes when all else fails during japa, sometimes I just try to go from one mark to the next mark, to the next mark, and the benefits of each mark and what it means and how to get through. And then all of a sudden you think, wow, I was blessed a few times, just a few, but oh, so much. So now your turn. What are some things that you can remember and share with us, things that you hold dear, that you've read or heard about Krishna's lotus feet through your sojourn in Krishna consciousness, Krishna's lotus feet? We can't start with you, but we're going to go to you, okay?
No one.
I know, they're just shy. How about Akrura? Akrura.
Well, he's rolling in the sand.
Why?
Because Krishna's lotus feet
are there. Yeah. As soon as he saw Akrura when he comes into Vrindavan, as soon as he saw Krishna's lotus feet, which were nicely preserved by the cows and everybody who didn't press on them, they didn't cover them up, that he saw them, he just rolled on the ground. And what does Prabhupada say there in that story about going to Vrindavan? He says it's a good idea to roll on the ground. He does. He says you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. So this is the way to get entrance into Vrindavan. You know. Yes, dear.
So many gopas, and nobody ever puts their feet on Krishna's feet.
Thank you. He doesn't. Nobody ever puts their feet on Krishna's mark. That's true. Anything else about Krishna's lotus feet?
You have to intervene in that.
I have to? Okay.
Yes.
Would you like to help me?
Because I had a doubt. What does that mean? Vaikuntha means no kunta, no worry.
Anxiety?
And if you think, oh, wait, I cannot run with Krishna. There is a footprint. Not like this. This has to be understood not by material calculation.
Okay.
The Sanatana Goswami Pada writes, every footprint of Vrajananandan Krishna is preserved, is not touched by anybody, means they do not see it that way. They can freely walk, run with Krishna.
Okay.
For then an example, like Kaliya.
Yes.
In Kaliya's story, how did they know where is Krishna? The footprint just manifested. And they followed the footprint on that day. Every day, fresh footprint, Jogomaya covers it, and she manifests, and they followed, and they came to Kaliyara.
Okay. So, and then, is that the same explanation then? Because as soon as you said that, I thought, well, then how was it that when Uddhav came to Vrindavan, yeah, and Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda were there, feeling so much separation from Krishna, at a certain point he says, well, why don't you, or to the gopis, sorry, I can't remember exactly to whom he said this, but why don't you go out, leave the house, and stop lamenting so much? And they said, we can't go out because every place we go, we see Krishna's lotus footprint.
Yes.
So they're just manifesting.
Jogomaya created. Nanda Maharaj explained that.
Okay.
That outside separation feeling is extreme, so I stay inside. I don't want to see. Same thing with the Akrura.
Uh-huh.
Akrura left right after Mangalarti. Well, there was the Ekadashi broke, Dadashi para, after Ekadashi, next day. And then he left in the Mangalarti, right after Mangalarti, and he came in the evening. But if you take rickshaw or something, it takes only little time. So how did he spend? This is what chakra. Now if we look at the deity here, we see that you have a very nice, the right side, Krishna's feet. He does not stand on right foot. Mm. He stands on one foot.
Mm-hmm.
Left feet, we can see right here.
Mm-hmm.
And the right feet is touching Srimati Radhika. And that's the only feet that actually has the visibility. So anybody takes shelter of Guru, Ashray, Radharani, headed by Radharani, can see the footprint. Otherwise, not possible.
Thanks. Thank you. Always in the boat of nectar. Akuti?
During the Rasamans, the book is Lord of Krishna and Radharani, and they saw two sets of footprints.
And then all of a sudden they see one set, and then they just see the toes of the other one where Radharani must have gotten, tried to get some flowers, and then all of a sudden only one set of footprints. So that
yeah.
Is,
yeah, nice.
Krishna picked her up.
He picked her up. Yeah.
Now, all the birds of us, if you want to go to Vrindavan, you better learn the Mother Nanda's footprint. Because in Vrindavan, everybody knows the footprint.
Uh-huh.
Without knowing this, we cannot enter there.
Uh-huh. We have one on Radharani's footprints, too. Divyanga, what are you going to share?
I was going to say what you said. One thing that I remember from the Krishna book is that they notice there's two sets, and then there's one set, and then this set goes a little deeper than his parents.
Uh-huh. Really yeah. Yeah. Transcendentally envious. Uh-huh. Something else, lotus feet. Any related? Okay, you've got the mic, you speak.
Krishna was killed in the food.
Oh, my gosh. We're not going to bring that subject matter up here. Okay, Mahabodhi?
Regarding the elephant goad in the 11th,
yes,
in the 11th canto, Srimati Radharani was being chastised by her consorts, her friends, her handmaidens. They were saying to her, you're like a vendor who has just sold his elephant. Meaning that she's surrendered to Krishna. And now you're, and I can't remember the word they used, squabbling or quibbling.
Arguing, or yeah,
over
quibbling.
The, and what was the name of the guy?
Ankush.
Ankush. So she's given up her mind, her everything to Krishna, and now, but she still wants to maintain control of that elephant.
And she still does. Thanks. Okay, what about Vidyadhara? What about Vidyadhara?
The snake.
So what? Yes, hold on, hang in there. So the python, okay, so now that he's reminded you who the Vidyadhara was, so what was it? What was that? Lotus feet, python, Vidyadhara? Okay, what was the story? Madam, can you just give us a brief recount of the story?
I just remember.
Who was he? Yeah, it used to be
used
there.
To be
it's true.
Picture, yeah.
It was a dark painting, right? Because
yeah.
Why?
Pushkar's painting.
Could you just say it again?
He was being swallowed.
He who?
Ananda Maharaj.
Ananda Maharaj was being swallowed by a snake.
Why?
Yeah. Wait.
Because he was Ekadashi and he went to the Dikshisha bathing before the period he's supposed to go in.
No, you got a different one. You're mixing them up, but it's okay. Continue. Anyway, he was being swallowed. Nanda Maharaj was being swallowed by a snake, and what happened?
Krishna put his foot.
Wait. Come on.
Nanda Maharaj's compatriots, the other coward men were starting to beat the snake with fire torches.
Because it was nighttime, they were camping out. They had gone to where? They'd gone to worship Lord Shiva, which they didn't do all the time. Sometimes they did that, you know. But they'd gone to worship Lord Shiva, and they were at this, I can't remember the forest, B, begins with a B. Anyway, and they were camping out, so they had a fire, and all of a sudden, a snake comes and starts to swallow up Nanda Maharaj, and he startled, and the coward men wake up, so they start to beat him with burning logs. And then what happens? Yeah, well, Krishna, so finally the snake didn't stop. Even being beaten with burning logs, he must have been a huge snake too, right? It didn't even stop then, even being beaten with burning logs. And so they called out, Krishna, Krishna, and he comes. And all Krishna does is he touches him with his lotus foot. And just being touched by Krishna's lotus foot, purified, this great demigod comes out, the Vidyadhara. Oh, now we're going to hear why. Yes, Prabhu? Please.
Because he was very proud.
Oh, yeah. Astavakra Muni, right?
He was walking by.
He was proud of his beauty.
And he was enjoying with the heavenly girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this Astavakra Muni was passing by, somewhere it says Angira, either way. Never mind. Either way, it's great.
But Astavakra is particularly curved.
Eight
walks
places
in a funny
bent.
Way.
Is that how he moves? Eight places bent. I could not draw anything in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know how you walk. Like
but Dasa Prabhupada translated as eight places bent, a body. So then when he has a nickname called Sudarshan, the most beautiful demigod. So when he was very enchanted with these girls, and then this Muni was going by, said, what's the use of that kind of life they become? They don't know how to enjoy life, this, that. And this Muni, even though far, but he heard it. Some or other, when we criticize the great personality, they hear. So then he immediately cursed him, that you are not worthy of to become a demigod.
Yeah, and that's why, pride, boy, pride comes before the fall, right? But that's why by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet, even with that Chudashan Chakra, we hope it will cut down the pride that is ever present in my heart, in our hearts.
Except one time. But I have to finish this. So what happened
with
Vidyadhara? Then he saw himself turning into the snake.
Uh-huh.
Then repentance came. It's uh-huh. very important, the repentation of the devotee, must, uh-huh. because it's required intelligence. Not mine. So then when he repented, then the Muni gave him blessing. All right, Krishna will come. So he remembers that. And Krishna will deliver you. That's why he did not let Nanda Maharaj go.
Uh-huh.
He knows mm-hmm. that Nanda Maharaj, Krishna mm-hmm. will come when mm-hmm. Nanda Maharaj mm-hmm. is being attacked. Mm-hmm. That's
this
why
is
he
my
did
chance.
Not respond.
I'm not letting go no matter what you do. Yeah, very nice. You got more?
One more.
Srimati
Radhika's feet on the left feet, it's similar to Krishna's right feet,
mm-hmm.
except the bottom is not there.
Right.
And the bottom is actually has the half moon,
mm-hmm.
and the leaf, fish. And a plant,
mm-hmm.
and circle also there on her right feet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side, on the other side, you have a conch shell, you have a mountain, and you have a... Bedi, the altar.
Okay, I thought that was called a... Anyway, yeah, altar.
Yeah, you can say that. We call Bedi. Anyway, then when Harshan Marshan, Kalnemi's son, was taking advantage of...
Whose son?
Kalnemi's son.
Okay, yeah.
Harshan and Marshan, very uh-huh. famous two demons. They were taking the chanting Krishna's name and doing all kinds of horrible, abominable things. So when they prayed to Krishna, they prayed to first Brahmaji, to Shiva, to Vishnu. Vishnu said, I can't help. Because he's chanting, he wants my shelter, and they're doing bad things, but Krishna became paralyzed. In 6th canto, Prabhupada writes that verse, Tena Surapa Mitra Duk Brahmaha Guru Talpaga, that verse. He says, Krishna says, anybody, even anything he does, if he utters my name, I must protect him. So Krishna got, how do you say in English, binded? Or no? Yeah,
bound
by the word he gave before. That anybody takes shelter, so they are chanting his name and doing horrible things, and Krishna could not do it. I'm sorry. So they went to Srimati Radhika. On her left feet, that Sudarshan Chakra is there, more powerful than Krishna's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she said, is he serving Krishna? No. Okay, finish. Sudarshan Chakra just went.
Thank you. Prabhu, yes.
Also, I heard the explanation of this 19 items on Krishna's place compared to the 19 chapters of first canto. It's also first chapter, second chapter explain each of the item.
Really?
According to the chapters of the first canto.
Oh.
And Srimati Radharani's feast represent the same. Same amount, I forgot the amount of items, but it represents six canto.
Six canto.
Oh. Each item explains to each, according to each chapter.
To each chapter. So much information is there, an unlimited ocean of bliss. But anyway, just in closing, so these, just what we want to try to do is, how just notice how you feel now, just from hearing little stories of Krishna and little encouragements like that. It just naturally lightens us and brings us up, elevates to a position that previously we might not have been in. So take it to heart and tell somebody about Krishna today, and you'll be glad you did. Jai, all glories to Prabhupada. Thank you very much.